You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Alan isn't back, so I gotta play the toilets.
Yeah, Alan got the toilet buzzer. Instead of like a clock that's, you know, 3, 2, 1, it's just Ballmer screaming toilets.
That's where you know where I am. We need one of his restrooms that he's gonna have. He's gonna have three times the amount of restrooms in his arena. We need one right here. Just
you know what you
this
get?
Corner.
Get one of those outhouses like at a construction site. Just put it in the corner
a
of the
porta
room.
Potty?
Yeah.
The problem
just
is
leave it over there.
The problem is then there's like two of us in line. We're like, all right, we're just waiting.
There was a line in there this time.
There was a line.
Yeah,
just hear that plastic door slam every segment. Those things are not great. Look, I'm kind of with Steve Ballmer on his it's the little things in life that can really make a big difference.
Right.
Not having to wait for a bathroom, getting back in your seat in time. One of the things that I think SoFi nailed when they opened, nailed. If you're waiting more than 2 minutes to get a beer, you're doing it wrong. Because there's a beer thing every 10 feet at SoFi Stadium.
Food wasn't that way.
The food
took forever when I went that Raiders Chargers game.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, there's a beer stand.
That part you're right.
Every six steps, and none of them have long lines more than a person or two. That's a good way to do it.
A good PA guy is important.
Good PA guy.
Guy that keeps your. DJ Malski?
Malski, yeah.
He's great.
He is good.
And it adds to the.
What about Nita?
Yeah, she's also awesome, too.
She cranks.
She shreds.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's awesome. Nita is the guitar player that they have. Then she's, like, she plays with Alice Cooper and all these. Like, she's a real, like, rock god guitarist, goddess, I guess, in this case.
It's awesome.
And she's terrific. It's the little things. And if I can just go in there and the bathroom is clean and available, heck yeah.
Well, I mean, look, go to the Coliseum.
Awesome.
I mean, just amazing.
That is the exact opposite of what Steve Ballmer is going for. Yeah, that's always
a trough.
The troughs are gone.
They got rid of.
Thankfully.
Yeah, they got rid of that.
Troughs are gone from Dodger Stadium. They're gone from the calls. I don't know if there's maybe like Wrigley Field or Fenway Park. There's still some
Wrigley
trough
sounds
action.
Like that's exactly.
Last time I was at Wrigley was it's at least 10 years ago, but they were troughed up.
I think Virginia Tech football stadium has troughs for the guys. So
yeah,
I don't disagree that Ballmer with the bathrooms is not. Hey, it's the little things. I'm just surprised. That's his opening pitch to every pitch to it.
It's an unusual place to start.
You walk in, and the first thing he does with Kawhi and PG and everybody, hey, guys, take a look. Take a look at what? Look how many back. Count them out.
Look at all that plumbing.
Then he has like a spreadsheet that says, look how many crypto has. Look how many Sacramento has.
And a nice bathroom goes a long way.
It does a long way, but
SoFi ones
the
are
opening
great,
pitch.
It does. It makes it. I'm with
Al. But you can't have
it's a weird opening offer.
You can't.
Tell me about your stadium. More bathrooms than any other in the entire league. All right. Yeah, exactly. All
so
right.
How's the team?
Cool, but.
So what's capacity like? Where's it located? Did you not hear me?
You're not listening?
How's the parking?
Bathrooms.
Yeah,
parking is huge.
No, they're great. That might be number
or,
one.
Or like.
Easy
not
in
even,
and out.
Yeah.
Easy
you
can, in
you
and
can
out.
Have good public transport is a big thing, too, so that is fine.
Can I get in and out easily?
Okay, well, I wonder for where they're located. You would tell me that every game you were getting up to. I didn't go to a game, a Rams game. I went early on, Chargers and the Raiders. They have their own, or they're using the, like, is it
the parking
leaked?
You're talking
yeah,
about?
Is it leaked together?
I would assume, and this is completely an assumption, I would assume they will use some of that SoFi.
Yeah, might as well.
Why not?
Yeah.
Right?
But
why
they probably
not?
Have their own as
have
well.
Their own, but then you have literally a 70-something thousand stadium that's
because the Forum,
right there.
You can use both, too, because like for both shows at both places, you can overflow.
I wonder what it's going to do for the dynamic for the Lakers and the Clippers. We'll get to the Lakers going to be in above the line in a second. Having their own place. Because when they had their own place prior at the sports arena, it was such a dump that it almost didn't even qualify, right? It literally. And did you ever go to an NBA game at the sports arena?
No. The only, and I got an equivalent of a better dump, the sports arena in San Diego, where you went and got your burrito.
Yeah, did you go to an end? Because it was weird. Like, there's dumpy stadiums all over the place, but when you have, like, a major league product in a dump like that, it's really odd. Like, you had Michael Jordan coming in to the sports arena. You had Shaquille O'Neal coming into this. It was just, it was so surreal, the juxtaposition of these incredible teams and players in this incredibly lucrative league playing in a dump.
Can I give you a fantastic example? KD's first year with the Golden State Warriors, okay? That was, San Diego used to get a preseason game every year. Okay, they'd get the Lakers game, whoever they're playing. KD's first year as a Los Angeles Laker, or I'm sorry, as a Golden State Warriors down in San Diego. So you're talking about these elite, unbelievable athletes. They had to stop the game, at halftime because the floor had too much moisture. The stadium was just awful. You're right. You're like, how are these the world-class athletes playing in this arena? I think that's the description.
I wonder what it does for their psyche, for their level of not. I'm not talking competitiveness as far as like we got this player and you got that player. Just we've got our own place. It's state of the art. We have an owner worth, what did you say, $80
billion? 88.
$88 billion, who is sparing no expense on toilets and everything else.
You have your own Ring of Honor or your jersey retirements if you want those.
We've got our place. We're not sharing, and quite honestly, the Clippers are not sharing Staples Center. They're renting a room in Staples Center. They're living in their brother's house, and they've got their own room in the back. That's what it is, right? They don't have any ownership in that, no matter what they want to tell themselves. They're going to have full ownership in this new place. Does it change it? Because I think it could change all of the stuff around it. The product on the court still needs to be really good, but the quicker they carve out their own identity entirely, the better for that organization.
I'll tell you what I think it does change. I think it is a difference. I think any time that you could take a 20,000-seat stadium and call it your own home, and everything you do there is based on, I mean, really, it's direct competition. What Inglewood is doing right now is direct competition with LA Live, right? That those concerts that maybe were just a no-brainer, yeah, crypto's getting them. Into a dome is probably going to get a lot of those. Mm-hmm. I think I set it up that way because I think also if you're a Clipper fan, you're saying to yourself,
for sure,
awesome. I don't have to go to a stadium where the seats have been purple for years and you know that everything, this is all, at the end of the day, as much as you try to put lipstick on a pig, it's still what it is. It is
the
Los Angeles Lakers building. I think it changes from that dynamic, and I think that there's going to be a little bit of excitement for a Laker fan saying, hey, this is kind of cool. We have a Clippers home game, Lakers and the Clippers. We got to drive 20, 25 minutes out to Inglewood to go catch a game. What won't change? You're going to have an unbelievable amount of Laker fans there when they're playing each other.
Yeah, but that's true of every Laker game, whether it's in Oklahoma City, Atlanta,
agreed,
Chicago, agreed.
It doesn't matter. But that's not going to stop. Oh, well, it's not our home. Laker fans, they're going to be there.
No.
But I do think it changes a little bit of an identity for the Clippers. I don't underplay that. I'm a big... What Bomber's doing is, that's all you can ask for if you're a Clipper fan. Everything he's doing is the right thing for the Clippers.
I don't think it's going to happen this year, but I'm from an intellectual exercise, I'm not a Clipper fan, but from an intellectual situation, I would love to see what happens to them if they ever got over the hump. Like it, because so far, they're so much better than they were 10 years ago. Right, they have better players. They have infinitely better ownership. They're a competitor in the Western Conference, but they still, you can say about the Clippers, yeah, they're the Clippers, man. Their two best guys don't play very often. They still have only gotten to the Conference Finals once in 50 years. Blah 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 blah. Right? What if that's not true anymore? What if they do go to the finals? What if they win an NBA championship? What does that do? They're never going to be the Lakers. That's not the point. The question though is, how does it change the legitimacy of the franchise as far as free agents, as far as attraction, as far as just kind of starting to become something other than the guy that is in the Lakers' back room? That's the part that's interesting to me, not just from the facility, but if they ever got over the hump or got closer than they've ever been before, what does that do?
Well, let me ask you
this.
I think
it does a lot.
Did you think it was going to change when PG and Kawhi joined the Clippers?
Not unless they won.
Do you feel like a lot has changed since those two came?
The change that has happened in the Clippers over the last 10 years, let's say, has everything to do with the ownership and very little to do with the play on the court.
Okay, so I agree with you. I don't think that's changed. I think even if they won an NBA championship, I don't know how much it's going to change.
Well, I think it's changed a lot.
Well, what? Give me your description, your definition of a lot.
They would be a legitimate NBA franchise in the sense that we're contenders in this, not because we're telling you that we are, but because we are. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between saying, hey, we got our guys. Yeah, but you've never been here before. You know, guys don't belong here. Where all of a sudden Milwaukee goes from, hey, they got Giannis and they got these good places to, we know they can win an NBA championship. They have a presence and an aura about them that is different than, say, the Phoenix Suns, who are very good and they've got good players. But it's still like, are you guys ever going to punch your ticket or not? That once you've done that, and it doesn't last forever, if the Bucks go another 20 years without winning one, it goes back to the way it was. But in the short term, if you win one of those, you can kind of have your chest out a little bit. You can kind of have one of those, look, we're here, we won one, we're going to try to win another one. It does change things.
I think the description of the franchise because they won can change, but I guess my question too, that's why I was asking, give me more details. How much does it change in LA? I don't think changes a lot in LA. But the perception of who the Los Angeles Clippers are, that will change. And it might not be in my eye or your eyes, but let's just say other NBA fans across the country can say, oh, wow, that is...
Oddly, LA is the worst market to measure that by, right? Because not only do you have another team, you have the Lakers, right? It's not just another team. It's the Lakers who have, 100 championships and 100 Hall of Fame players.
It's the biggest hill that you got.
Right. So they're not trying to climb the hill against the Lakers. They're trying to climb the hill against the league, right? That the Lakers are a one-off. They are just a one-of-one, and trying to compete with them is a losing errand, mm-hmm. like globally. You can compete with them in a season, which brings us to this. The Lakers and the Clippers are both over the line but under the line. What's that going to look like? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A lot of people still coming in, Slee, with what their older siblings used to do to them as children. DW has, I'm the last of seven. Wow, you got it from six other people. Sorry, DW. The list. Forced dress wearing, loogie drip, noogies, pull the finger, blame for all calamities, hot sauce on the finger when you're sleeping so when you wake up and rub your eyes.
Oh, that's not good.
And much more. Yeah, I'm the baby/spoiled. That's rough, DW. That is quite a list.
He came out one of two ways, damaged or as hard
tough
as a rock.
Tough as nails.
Yeah, you know what I mean? There's nothing that will break him. Nothing that will break him at all.
Tough as nails, hopefully, because otherwise everyone you look at, like, that guy's going to do something. That guy's going to put hot sauce on my finger. That, by the way, I've never heard of that.
Never heard of that.
The loogie drip is a common one. We've had a lot of that, and that's real gross, but kind of a common one along the way. Here's our pal, JC in Ventura. JC, what do you got for us?
How's it going, fellas? Well, I'm the oldest brother, and there's three of us, and we're all about 3 years apart. But I used to be pretty hard on my brothers, I'm not going to lie. My dad told me to make sure they were tough, they can handle themselves. Until one day, I believe I was 22 years old at the time, and they were a little older in high school, now working out and anything like that. They decided one day that was going to be the day that they get me. And I'm walking down the hallway, and sure, they jumped out of the room. They just started pounding on me. I said, okay. This is the day. Let's do it. And by the end of everything that happened, all three of us were repairing drywall throughout the house and stuff.
You got jumped.
Replace tables and chairs and everything else.
JC, that doesn't sound like a prank. That sounds like an assault. That sounds like you got attacked in your own home.
Well, they got tired of all the noogies and hard things I used to do with them. I used to have a pet iguana I used to stick in the bed with them that they couldn't stand. And so they thought they were going to get back at me that day. To this day, my youngest brother says that was the worst mistake he ever made in his life.
Thank you for the call, JC. Appreciate it. They had to fix the drywall in the house.
The honesty. He literally got jumped. That's all I heard.
I'm sure Mr. and Mrs. JC and Ventura were really very happy about that in their house.
I'm trying to think what my reaction would be if I came home and there were holes in the drywall from my children assaulting each other. I don't think I'd be thrilled about that.
Would Bobby be the one explaining everything? Okay, Dad, here's what happened. Okay.
No, he would just go, I don't know how that happened. He'd have like a split lip, a bloody eye. Michael would have a broken arm.
Drywall on his knuckles.
Yeah, the dust all over his knuckles and his clothes would be covered.
Dad, it's crazy, man, what's happening with the weather.
We came home and it looked like this.
My sisters and I think, did do something similar-ish. Not really, but we had to fix the drywall, or the drywall was ruined because we had put our little sister in a stroller and we had stairs that went like down a small flight and then down another small flight. So we pushed her down the small flight into the wall. So it's kind of almost like a
how old was your sister?
Pretty young. It's almost like a Stanley in the Office kind of thing
people
where she
evil.
Gets there. So
just
she's fine.
Evil.
She had a helmet on. It was all good.
Human beings can be pretty rough on one another.
At least I do like they had a helmet on. That's a good
safety first.
It was just like stealing the office.
Okay, yeah. is this a good comp or no? You got an owner in Steve Ballmer that's got more money than he knows what to do with, and he's passionate. He wants to win. All right. We keep talking about Cohen of the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at two big markets, and you're looking at two iconic franchises, the Lakers and the Yankees. I don't think it's the best comp, but this is the best way that I can explain it. I think there are real, at least my perception of it, there are a lot of Mets fans. There are real Mets fans. They're very passionate about their Mets. They love being Mets fans. There is no Yankees are going to dominate, but there's also, I feel like, again, this is just my perception, the Mets fan base is a real fan base.
Yeah.
But the comp is the closest thing that I can get to where here you now have a new owner that walked in. He's got all the money in the world. And he's saying the only way that I could just at least get the respect from some of these other teams, some of these other franchises, get respect from the sport, is I got to go out there and get big-time people. That's the best comp that I have, but I don't think there's a Clipper fan base the way there is a Met fan base.
I think there is. I think because we're here.
And you might be right. I genuinely don't know.
And you and I in particular are so embedded in the Laker culture. Because of where we work, because of what we do, because of the teams that we root for, it's a little hard to see the forest through the trees, right? I think that it is a good comp because when you have a city the size of New York, when you have a city the size of Los Angeles, you can be the B and still have a ton of fans and still be dwarfed by the A. Both of those things can be true at the same time. The Mets do have a fan base. But it's nowhere near what the Yankees are. The Clippers have fans. I think we, you know, usually when I'm saying it, it's tongue in cheek. But the Clippers have fans. They just don't have any fans relative to what the Lakers have. It's an unfair comparison, like we were talking about a minute ago. It is similar to what you're talking about in New York. And I think that what Cohen is trying to do is similar to what Ballmer has tried to do, which is who are the best players available? Okay, that's Justin Verlander. Pay him. Who's the best player available? It's Kawhi Leonard. Okay, pay him. Give him whatever he needs to get him.
Trade whatever picks you got. Right? Doesn't matter.
The Mets have a relatively new stadium, so I don't think they're going to do that anytime soon. But whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go make that thing happen. But unless the Mets win, and again, they'll never be the Yankees. Unless the Clippers win, unless the Mets win, they're still just that, yeah, you got a rich owner, spent a lot of money, but you guys are exactly the same. But when you punch that ticket, and the Mets have...
They've won two World Series.
But in 69 and 86, it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. You're still like, yeah, you're that other guy. And the Angels are a perfect example. For a moment, they were never the Dodgers, but for a moment, they were the better team. Like in the early part of the 2000s when they won the World Series,
yeah.
We're going to the ALCS. Mm-hmm. For 5 years, the Angels were one of the best teams in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then they weren't. And then it went right back to the way it was, where the Dodgers were the big bad guy on the block with all the fans, and the Angels were the B, who wasn't very good. You got to punch your ticket. But for a minute, they had a chance. The Clippers need to do that. They need to punch the ticket.
That's the best comp that I could give. I think that's an interesting one where you got two owners that came in with all the money in the world in the biggest markets going up against two franchises that are as iconic as it gets.
You got to win. You're always going to have fans, but you're never going to be in the mix. I don't know how to say it other than the Clippers right now are just on the edge of being in the mix. They beat the Lakers in the play-in a little bit better. Win a championship a lot better, but you're never going to be
the guy. Can't do is you can't be the Clippers and say, you could do this. You could say, yeah, but we've beat you 10 in a row, nine in a row.
Doesn't matter.
You can't do, yeah, but we got to the playoffs and you didn't.
Doesn't matter.
That doesn't really matter. Nope. But what you can say is, listen, I know you got 17. We got the last one.
We got the most recent one.
Got the last one. We got one before you, more recent than when you got one.
It's like
one.
The Rams and the 49ers. Like, the one that matters, they got.
And we beat you head up. We beat you head up, right? If the Clippers, and by the way, this is, the Clippers and Lakers are both in the 7 to 10 spot, right? The Lakers are
This is part of kind of the conversation.
The 9, and the Clippers are at the 7 right now, right? So they wouldn't play each other in that first round, but the Clippers lose and the Lakers win. They're playing in a knockout game. A lot of things can happen between then and now, but this is how it starts. And
8-9.
So same scenario, right? The Clippers would have to lose. The Lakers would have to win for them to play each other in a knockout situation. Mm-hmm. That's a bad matchup for the Lakers. If everybody's healthy, I still do not like that. That's 10 in a row. The Clippers have beat them 10 times in a row. Lakers are playing a lot better. Clippers are actually playing a lot worse. But sometimes there's just that, finally, these are the guys that we needed to see to kind of get right all of a sudden. And as weird as it sounds, the Lakers are kind of that team for the Clippers right now.
So if the scenario did play out that way, you know, obviously, listen, we're going to have to wait and see what happens to Bron. They still have another matchup against each other. I think April 5th is the last time those two teams will play each other. I'm okay with the matchup. I know what you're saying about, hey, they've lost 9 in a row, whatever it is. We'll see what happens April 5th. So it's 10 right now. Uh-huh. So whatever that number is.
10.
I think the difference is this is a different different version of the Lakers team, as it is kind of a different version of the Clippers team. So maybe that game on April 5th would be fascinating because it would be the first time you see two squads. Russ is now on that team. One team has kind of slid. The other team has gone up. But it will come down to, is Bron going to be there? Is he not? I mean, right now, all we're talking about is getting into the play-in tournament. But if we're actually going to have a real conversation about the Lakers being the top eight when the dust settles and having a chance in the first round, that's, of course, going to come down to if Bron's there or not.
The best part is the Lakers do not have to squint and come up with some ridiculous series of events that lands them in the sixth spot. They just kind of keep need to do what they've been doing.
Before the trade deadline or whatever.
Before the trade deadline, and even when LeBron was diagnosed with the tendon injury or went out with the tendon injury, it was, oh boy, something weird's going to have to happen. Well, I swear I don't mean this in a bad way. Something weird has kind of happened. Anthony Davis has been consistently great for the better part of a couple of weeks. And if he continues to be, nothing else really weird needs to just keep doing that. And we'll see whether or not he can. They're the air quote hot team in that group of five or six teams that's all kind of lumped together. They're the hot one right now. Long way to go.
Yeah.
But they're the hot one right now. Get D'Angelo back sooner than later, maybe by Friday.
I think he's going to go through a workout. Darvin Ham said yes, he'll go through a workout today, tomorrow, to determine whether he can go on Friday.
Let's say by the weekend. So he comes back by the way. All of a sudden, you don't need weird stuff. You just need to continue playing well. And maybe all this play-in stuff is null and void. Now you're at the six and you're playing. Phoenix would be a bad draw right at the shoot. You don't want that. But maybe
Sacramento. Could get Memphis in the first round.
Could be Memphis. Could be Sacramento. Could be Phoenix. Two of those, I think, are pretty favorable to you. Phoenix, you don't want Phoenix in the first round.
Yeah, you don't want. And that right now, I think that's like all these teams jockeying there. Phoenix is in fourth. Nobody wants to be fifth if they're in fourth. You just don't.
You don't want to play Phoenix at all, and you really don't want to play them in the first
round. What if it's the Warriors in the first round, right? That could happen.
I'd rather play the Warriors than the Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, 100%. What I'm saying is that imagine if you're the Golden State Warriors, you're like, okay, we get them. And by the way, even Phoenix, you're like, I got the Warriors in the first round?
I don't think Phoenix is sweating too many people. That looks really good.
It does
look
good.
It's really sustainable. You know what KD's amazing at? That I think this may be one of, he's got a lot of superpowers, but one of his great superpowers, he can miss a lot of time and just show up and look like he hasn't missed a day.
Effortless.
Yeah. Like
effortless.
Anthony Davis, LeBron James, it's almost like a little bit of an on-ramping process to get them back in, get their minutes up, get kind of knock some of the rust. or KD could miss a month. He missed a season and came back and looked like he hadn't missed a day. He's something else.
Yep.
He is something else. All right. The inaugural Pickleball Madness Tournament coming up a week from Saturday, March 18th, 10 to 4 at the Mile Square Park in Fountain Valley. Of course, the Agape Pickleball Center reserve seating is available. You can register for that at ESPNLA.com. Come on out and hang out with us. We're going to have a great day. It is open to anybody that wants to come. You can bring your kids. There is a kid zone. There is a beer garden. There's complimentary food and drinks. You can watch me and Slee play bad pickleball. Maybe we'll get lucky and advance out of the first round. Who knows? But you got to come out to see it. Thanks to our pals at Michelob Ultra, Bud Light Seltzer, and Pizza Hut. Come see me and Al play bad pickleball, have a few beers, and hang out. I think that's the best pitch, Al.
I'm in because we have to be there, but I'm also in because we'll probably be done by 11 o'clock and we have 7 hours to chill with everybody.
Let's talk a little bit about the Powell retirement ceremony last night and some of the things that AD was saying about it after. It's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The NCAA tournament is 1 week from tomorrow, Slee. Selection Sunday coming up in just a few days. But we will be out Yamava Resort and Casino next Thursday.
Yep.
That is the 909 Sports Bar for a tournament tip-off watch party. We'll be broadcasting live starting at 10 a.m. Our show will be on. We'll hand it off to Mason in Ireland, Sedano and Cap, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Thursday, March 16th. Come on out, hang out with us, press the flesh. Me and Slee, Mason and Ireland, Sedano and Cap, wall-to-wall LEDs, 150-plus screens, 32 craft beers. It's the perfect place to watch all the college basketball action. Plus, we'll be giving away prizes, autographed memorabilia, must be 21, and please gamble responsibly.
Be a fun day.
I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be a fun day, and it's one of the few times while we're doing our show, there's going to be a lot of action going on. Obviously, the games start at 9 a.m., and the entire time that 710's there, there's games going on all day. That's the beauty of Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that opening 4 days. Anytime you turn on the TV, something's going to be on.
And there's so many games, you're guaranteed that at least...
Some upsets.
Not even upsets, but I mean, hopefully some upsets, but just good games.
Yeah.
There will be close games. You're not going to get... Like sometimes, even on an NBA, like Saturday afternoon, where there's basketball, like there's three or four games on TV, there's a chance all four will be dogs,
mm-hmm.
right? That you're not going to get 16 games and have all of them be dogs.
NFL Thursday night games? Wasn't there like a streak of just these unbelievable games?
To the point where Al Michaels was like, oh, hate calling the games.
Do you 100% right about that. Do you when the tournament starts, do you kind of start this, you know, where everybody kind of thinks they know what's going on all of a sudden, where they're talking, oh, yeah, my bracket. How's Arizona lose a game like this? Or do you not even try any of that at all? I don't try anything. So that when people, it just kind of becomes a natural conversation.
Oh,
Thursday's the opening day. And then by the time Thursday's, can you believe that North Carolina only won by 7?
Your round of golf, your fantasy football team, your bad poker beats, and how your bracket's doing. These are things I do not care about. Just and your dogs. What's that?
Game of Thrones.
But for me, yes. But you need to find the right person for Game of Thrones, and you can talk about it all day. Like for instance, Al and I, we could talk about a lot of things that we both care about.
Yeah.
But even if you and I, like, we both like to play poker, right? I don't really care about your bad beat. You don't care about mine. Your fantasy football team. Even if we both play, it's like I don't really care about you.
Happens to everybody.
I just want to tell my story, right? College basketball brackets are that.
I thought about you yesterday for this exact reason. I'm watching. It's a clip of Step Brothers.
Okay.
And he says, I forget her, I forget the, what's Will Ferrell's mom in the movie?
Yeah.
She asks Dale, she's like, so what do you do? He goes, I manage a baseball team. And she goes, what do you mean, like Little League? He goes, fantasy. I thought of you for exactly that. Some people are so into it. That's just like the perfect scene. They're all at the dinner table together, whatever it is. But
Mary Steenburgen's good in that movie.
Yeah, she's Nancy.
Yeah,
Nancy. That's who it is. Nancy. It's a perfect name, too.
Yeah. Guys knows what they're doing.
Everybody's name.
Powell's number goes up yesterday, number 16, right next to Kobe. Dale and Brennan, right? Dale Doback. It's great. AD was asked, you know, was talking about it, and he said that he told Powell before the game that, you know, I want to be up there at some point in my life, and I think that's what we're all hoping for, right? We all want to see Anthony Davis become a no-brainer in that category because you know it when you see it, right? That you knew that at some point there was never a question of Kobe was going up or Shaq and Magic and Worthy, and you just know, yeah. Right? But even at by the end of Powell's career, you knew Powell was going up there. You knew it. It was an inevitability that he was going to go up. You and I both know LeBron James's number is going to hang up.
Of course
there.
It will.
It absolutely will. Anthony Davis at this point, I think, is likely to have his number up there, but it's not a slam dunk. And I think that's what we're waiting to hear, right? That we're waiting to where we're not even, it's not even a point of conversation. And when he was talking about it, you know, I want to be up there one day as well. I want to be in that category, that group. Play like he's played the last couple of weeks and, you know, play like that for a season or so, we are in no-brainer territory. It's not an ability thing. It's an availability thing, and we're kind of getting a little glimpse of it.
So I like the not shying away from it. I like the I want to be up there. How cool is that? I mean, can you see? There's only 12 players that are up there now, including Powell. Listen, as much as Anthony Davis wants to be up there, every Laker fan wants him up there
sure.
Like no tomorrow. I mean, we talk about Anthony Davis. He comes up so much in conversations. And the question, unfortunately, a lot of times with Anthony Davis is he available? Is he not available? Is he 100%? Is he not 100%? If he goes down on the ground, is it a bad injury? Are we going to lose him for a couple of weeks? And what you want that conversation to be, because this is the conversation with LeBron James. I know Bron's a different one. Or actually, there's a better comp. Powell is a better comp. Powell came to the Lakers in 2008. He was traded to the Lakers. The Lakers went to 3 NBA finals in a row, okay? And I'm not telling you that—
almost right away, too.
Right away. Yeah. Literally, 2008, they lost to the Boston Celtics. 2009, they beat the Orlando Magic. 2010, they beat the Boston Celtics. Instantly, it was you're cashing in and you're getting to the NBA finals. At worst, you got a deep run in the playoffs and you lose whatever the case is. AD came to the Lakers, instantly you got to the NBA Finals. You won an NBA championship. And what you thought would be similar to what was happening with Powell and Kobe, it was like, well, next year, explain to me why they're not the Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. Explain to me how they're not one of the 2-3 teams in the West that they're going to be back there. Instead, Trav, it's been a complete opposite since the NBA Finals. So as bad as AD wants to be up there one day in the rafters, every Lakers fan is also rooting for the same thing because every Laker fan, I don't want to say the franchise sold you on this. I think we sold ourselves. Hey, AD's the next guy.
Yeah.
So I think I love what he's saying, but at the same time, what he's saying, every Laker fan's looking at it the same way.
You said something that I think is so spot on. And it's Emily asked me something this morning, like when are you going to be convinced that AD is what we've been talking about for the last 5 minutes? And you just said it in your answer, and it's the answer I gave her. When I see him fall and I'm not worried, that's when I'll start to feel like that again. When I see him fall to the ground, which happens to everybody, guys get knocked down.
And you don't think about...
And I don't think, is he getting... okay, good, he's up. When it's just... When Jared Vanderbilt falls to the ground, I don't worry if he's getting up. Mm-hmm. When Austin Reeves gets knocked to the ground, I don't worry about him getting up. LeBron James, maybe a little more now than in the past, but for
naturally,
the better part
20
of
years
17
in.
Of yep. 18 years, LeBron got knocked down. He was basically Superman. He bounced right back up, and he'd go, and he'd shoot his free throws or whatever it would be. With Anthony Davis, you hold your breath. And until we're done with that portion of his Laker career, I don't know if he can be that guy. Right? That is he good enough? He clearly is. It's not, has he won a championship? He already has. It's all-star games, all of those things, stats. We're done. It's, can we just know that, yeah, I'm not worried if he's going to be here night to night, week to week, month to month, season to season. And that the only thing that changes that is time. That's it. It's just I just the only thing that will change my mind is if he got to the end of the postseason, right? Whenever that might be. It may be in a month. It may be in 2.5 months. Who knows, right? Mm-hmm. If we go through that and he's available and we're not talking about is he going to rest here, is he going to do this, or he's got a little nagging knee or back or mm-hmm. pinky or get smacked in the face, kind of a bad example. But are we just done with that? Then we can start having the conversation about the number. Then we can start having the conversation is can he be the best player on the championship team?
So everything you said is fair. Like I don't know how people can kind of argue that. What I would argue is this. I haven't, and I've kind of said this since Braun went out. I'm not questioning whether AD can get the numbers. I think the numbers are going to be
is
there.
Is anybody?
I think some people are saying, you know, and we'll go back to this. Can he carry the Lakers right now to try to get a playoff spot? I think there's some question marks there. I think some people are saying, I don't know, can he? Because he's been doing it with LeBron James. Can he do it without LeBron? I know when Bron's on the floor and AD's not, Bron can still carry the team. I don't know if AD can carry the team if Bron's not on the floor.
He has the last couple weeks.
So that's kind of the point, since the injury. But I never questioned the stats about Anthony Davis. I question, is AD going to be able to be there for a long stretch of time? And a long stretch of time is not 2 weeks.
No.
Long stretch of time is not 30 days. A long stretch of time is not 2 months. No. A long stretch of time would technically be what you just said. Bron got injured. AD basically played in 85, 90% of the games, and he went all the way through however far the Lakers go. I don't know if you're ever going to get that feeling out when you say AD's on the floor. Oh my gosh, is something wrong? Is something not? I don't know if that's going to go away, or put it this way, it's going to take a long time for it to get there.
It's fast forward to March 8th, 2024, a year from now. If he hasn't missed time other than the regular amount of time that people that lose, okay. Then I think we're kind of through it, right? Like Steph Curry, when he came into the league, he had the foot thing. And everyone's like, oh, is that foot? Is
bad
that foot?
Ankle issues.
And all of a sudden, he had a little bit of this. And we're like, uh-oh. Embiid is a great example. We don't think about Embiid like that anymore. We know that Embiid is going to be out there, and Embiid's going to go and play hard and play every night virtually. That you can rewrite the story. He's just starting to rewrite it. Like, we're literally in the first chapter of the rewrite. Hopefully we get to chapter two. The playoffs would be chapter three.
Yeah.
The beginning of next season would be chapter four. But it's a 10-chapter book. You got to kind of get through enough of it before. Because even if early next season, it's like, oh, my gosh, it happened again. We need an extended period of time where we're not having that conversation.
I will tell you this, and this falls into the AD front. 2 weeks ago when we found out, I think it was maybe a little less than 2 weeks ago, we found out about Bron and the severity of his injury. It's going to take at least 3 weeks. I didn't think we'd be having this conversation today of, wow, the Lakers are still winning games. They're actually playing better. AD's got a lot to do with that. It's the first time, and I know this is not ideal for Laker fans. It's the first time there's actually some real excitement around Lakers basketball, and that's not to say that ninth is the goal, but I'm not kidding. There was a buzz yesterday, and we'll see what happens over the weekend. Lakers basketball, at least there's something to play for right now.
The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right. I knew this was coming. It was just a matter of, I'm not going to lie, Clinton, I thought that this may be a phone call that got sent to the program yesterday.
I needed to look you in the face.
Yes, go ahead.
I will repeat what was said when I was sitting right here in this seat. No, I wasn't sitting here. Maybe I was on the phone. Alan said, must be nice to invite people to things that they're going to show up to. Now,
had a change of plans, Al.
A little change of plans. Now, shall I? Let's revisit all of the mess that I took.
Uh-huh.
Let me go to my text, Al. Because I got a text yesterday from one Mr. Sliwa.
Yep.
And here's what it said. Hold on. Please, filibuster.
Well, listen, Trav, I will say this, said Al, I got to kind of walk you through a situation and you tell me what you want me to do on Thursday.
Oh, okay. So you gave him an out. Basically.
No. Well, he just said, here's the predicament, here's the situation, and his son had his game move from Friday to Thursday. I can't do anything
excuse.
There. I can't do anything
I
there.
Was ridiculed. I was bamboozled. I was dragged through the mud at this station for skipping one practice. And here it says, no. Hey, Trav has to be at his son's baseball game on Thursday.
So,
would you want to join and be the fourth?
Oh, when I sent that too,
I was just hanging around.
When I sent that too, I was in my head. I'm like, Yates is probably like, how the tables have turned.
Exactly. I was planning on crashing the practice anyway.
This is why.
Just to make a point.
This is why it's not apples to apples. This is apples to. Tow trucks.
Yeah. Okay. Once again,
I'm not going to play pickleball with someone else in lieu of playing with my good friend Alex.
Almost worse. You're not even going to practice pickleball.
First and foremost,
you're
I'm a family man.
Going to do something
man.
You've done 100 times.
I am a family man. I like to consider myself an attentive father, and I want to participate in these baseball games as often as I can because they're very limited time before they go away forever, so I like to seize the moment.
Real talk, Travis literally does text me clips of his son playing baseball offline. Like, that's a real thing that happens in this relationship.
Ooh, I got a new one for you.
I just want you to know, though. The best ability, availability. Yeah. Turns out your boy's available. So enough of that.
Well,
enough
I did
that
help.
Is over.
I did help myself out because the day before, I shot Yates a call and said, "Hey, we got four already. But if you want to come out, come out."
Yes.
So it all kind of worked out because if I was like, "Hey, Clinton,"
the universe knows.
Clinton ain't happening, buddy. If I was doing one of those, right, and then I'm calling Clinton the next day and said, "Hey, man, just wanted to tell you, you look great today on TV."
That's when I show up to the court.
I would have given that call.
Like,
no, you're not going to come out and play pickleball with us. Get lost.
Just saying. The tables have turned. Just wanted to make sure that I could see you with my face and say that, Travis.
I'm pretty excited about those real stirrups, Yates.
By the way. So all Travis and I talk about outside of this station is basically high school and college baseball. That's it.
Gouchers beat Pepperdine 11-1 yesterday.
Saw that. And
that's a great connection between the
two. Oh, yeah. That's what we do. By the way, did you watch – I guess you probably didn't watch World Baseball Classic because you had to be up for this. Watched a little of it last night.
By the way, I'm 100% in.
I like it. It's kind of a weird format baseball tournament, which is the appeal. It's like you're going rah-rah crazy.
But
oh
they
my
got
God.
The right guys
they got
in
the
it.
Right guys. And these
That's
teams,
a draw. That's definitely a draw sure. right there.
These teams are kind of legit now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like you've got two squads and everybody else is fielding, you know, bus drivers and high school history students, which, by the way, the Czech Republic is, which is kind of cool. But it's a fun tournament. It's a couple of good games. I mean, a good game last night.
How about this? This is the DR team in the outfield. Oh, yeah. You have Juan Soto, Julio Rodriguez, Teoscar Hernandez, and Eloy Jimenez. Those are really good major league players.
Absolutely.
Right? In the infield, you have Jeremy Pena, Manny Machado, Wander Franco, Rafael Devers, Willie Adames. I mean, these are legit guys. The Americans have Will Smith, Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, Mike Trout. Like, these are the right guys.
Yeah, it should be fun. It's a different brand of baseball.
So do people how does Major League Baseball, I guess you can – there's nothing you can really do about the timing of it, right? Because the timing's not perfect.
There's no good place to put
there's
it.
There's humans that believe that you should stop in the middle of the season and put it around the All-Star game. I don't agree with that.
That's not
necessary. I also don't think – the goal of World Baseball Classic should be to get to something that is like
the World Cup.
Yeah, that's not a realistic goal in this lifetime.
No,
this should be a showcase tournament for players who want to do it, and that'll probably get you the best result.
It could be super offensive too, because the one weak link on all, even these really good teams like the DR and the American team, and a little bit less with the Japanese team because they have Otani. The pitching, the best pitchers are not there.
And some pitch of them, counts as well. That affects things a lot, too.
It could be highly offensive, which might be fun.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting thing. Couple fun stories out of there. Cuba finally letting their big leaguers play on their team after they've gone to the big leagues. Panama's first time.
Thought you were going to talk about Hornman from Cuba.
Hornman, by the way, is fantastic. That dude lives in Houston, as it turns out, but he goes to every single Cuban international sporting event and blows the horn.
You guys are kind of selling me a little bit.
Are you
this.
Familiar with Hornman, Slee?
No.
And he draws a leadoff walk. Can you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
You've been to a Winter League game. You watch a Winter League game. It sounds like that pretty much every time.
The
Cuba's
whole
playing.
Game. Yeah. It's like the Vandy Whistler.
Yeah, the Vandy Whistler, by the way. That guy.
The whole damn game.
Vandy Whistler's a whole other dude. Do you know that he has like a fully tricked out like car, like van, that's like got his whole insignia on it and like bells and whistles on it? Oh, yeah. The Vandy Whistler lives
Sounds like
life.
A lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's a lifestyle.
Anyway.
That guy.
World Baseball Classic.
Not
fun
my
times.
Guy.
Fun times.
Anything else that you would like to make fun of me for?
No, not at all. I'm never making fun of anybody. You're reaping what you sowed.
You know what
sir.
This is.
That's all that's happening.
I don't like that. This is you attacking me for being a good father. That's all I'm hearing.
That's what we're doing. Okay.
That's the card of there's any card to play.
That's what I'm
hearing. That's a card to play. Because now listeners are like, that Yates, man. What an a-hole.
He's going to send me 5 videos of his kid striking out, and I'm going to be like, oh, man, he's got to get over on his front side a little more.
He got a knock the other day.
Can't attack the slider the same way.
He got a knock the other day. It's very exciting. We've turned the corner. A lot of things are happening. Miguel
Vargas.
We're
going to make it happen.
Yeah,
tomorrow
I'll be there.
We'll make it happen.
I will be there.
Miguel Vargas is going to do the thing in baseball that's fairly important. He's going to swing a bat. That he has been playing in spring training games, but has not been cleared to swing a bat. But when he gets back on the field, probably tomorrow,
yeah,
he's got a green light to actually turn it loose. Which
did
is
he
insane.
Ever kind of like pretend like he was going to swing? Like, ah,
it's funny. We were watching the game. The other day. They like I get it. The pitchers are pitching them because the pitchers are trying to get work in too. So they're not just going to throw BP fastballs down the middle. Until the other day against the Padres, the Padre pitcher was in a little bit of hot water, and Vargas's spot
Martinez,
came up, and he literally threw 3 batting practice fastballs over
straight
the middle.
At him. He's like, he can't do anything.
He can't
swing
it. And then the next guy split the gap, and it didn't matter anyway. But Miguel Vargas is going to be able to swing the bat again. J.J. Watt had something that I thought was really interesting. Basically, every team that needed a quarterback in football yesterday, Atlanta, Charlotte, or Carolina, D.C., Miami, the Raiders, these are all teams that are in the market for a quarterback. Miami maybe a little bit less so with Tua, but health considerations obviously could change that. They all went out of their way to say, we don't want Lamar Jackson.
You
it's
know,
weird, man.
We just talked about this.
That's weird.
And I on TV, and I don't, that think is it's, weird. I don't actually think it's that weird.
Why?
It was a long time ago when he got that MVP. It was pre-COVID. It was many years ago in a football life sense. He's 1-3 in the playoffs. These teams need quarterbacks, but not at that price. This is an understandable football decision, even if I don't agree with it.
But real quick on that, Yates, there's enough teams out there where you would think one or two would say, guys, let's at least kind of look into this.
Better than Taylor Heineke.
That happens all the time in the NFL, the NBA, Major Baseball. Somebody overpays somebody.
He wants Deshaun money. Nobody's getting Deshaun money.
For me, I'm going to split the hair a tad. I think that being out on him because you think it's a bad fit is a different conversation than a quarter of the league just saying, nope, we're good.
And they need a quarterback.
That's peculiar.
I think if you add the two things together, though, the most cynical view of Lamar Jackson's career, which is not a view that I hold, is that his best days are behind him and that he didn't even win when he was the best player he's been. That's the cynical view. If you're going to throw $250 million guaranteed dollars at somebody, you can say, well, the guy who's won 2 in the time that he didn't win any is the guy that got less money than him. You know, I can understand it.
I believe that Netflix has a quasi-documentary coming out about this next one. It was today in 2014, March 8th, 2014, that Malaysian Airlines flight MH370 just disappeared.
Yep.
Just gone. And they found a few pieces of wreckage here and there across the world, mostly in like Eastern Africa is where a lot of this stuff has washed up on shores.
Jeez.
But nobody knows exactly what, where, how, who, why. A lot of theories. Netflix is going to have a doc coming out trying to figure out exactly what happened with that. That is still, even though, 2014, 9 years ago, that's no explanation. In the world we live in right now, with all the tracking and all the things that we pay attention to, that a plane just disappeared?
No chance I'm watching that.
That is, you're not watching.
Well, I fly too many planes to watch that and go to sleep at night. Straight up, you know what I'm saying? I don't need any more details on disappearing planes.
Well, that's when
get on
you
one
know.
On Saturday.
That's right? When you know, right when you just said Malaysia Airlines. It's like, oh no, I know it is. Yeah. And the details were already, you know, you're looking back, and I remember all the coverage on it. Hey, could that be a part? Oh no, it wasn't part of the plane. You know, they would just kind of the search, I guess you can call it. That many years later, and I'm sure that much more research and everything else to still not have.
They don't know if it was the pilot did it. They don't know if it was hijacked. They don't know if it was a technical error.
It makes my like
mechanical error.
No, thanks.
Just kind of poof.
That's
gone.
Not for me.
Like, unfortunately, accidents happen, but this is, we don't even know if it was an accident. It's pretty weird. Right.
John, would you watch
you remember
it?
Remember that? Are you in for the Malaysian Air Flight documentary on Netflix?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, their docs are great, all of them.
John's on planes.
I'm on planes
every
So, you know, I bring it on.
Cargo's a little bit more precious when you're on the plane.
Any speculation on what you guys think happened? Because it seems to me the most what's that? It's Occam's razor, right? The most logical explanation is probably the right one. The pilot decided he was going to take it out.
Or I'll say medical emergency.
But
I'll clear my own conscience.
Where's the plane?
Medical emergency.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Yeah. So it probably didn't.
go into the water and sink to the bottom, right?
They no, think
but it, maybe the, it disintegrated.
They pieces think that would. On impact, that the pilot set it on this course. He disabled the oxygen, right? And so everybody basically suffocated on the plane. He started flying more or less toward the South Pole. It runs out of gas and somewhere over the Indian Ocean. And when it hits, it shatters into a million pieces.
You know who I blame? Russell Westbrook. Isn't everything his fault?
Oh, man. That's so. Go ahead.
No, I was going to. If this is
I
about
think
Malaysian
that what
era,
happened is this thing went underwater and the waves and the depths of the ocean, of which we know very little about, swallowed that plane.
It was either Russell Westbrook or Frank McCourt. One of those two people.
Those are good scapegoots.
This missing
always,
plane.
Always
wonder
good
if that will be on the Netflix
yeah,
with,
exactly.
with Russ in mind. Let's go to Super Crosstalk. Woo, 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 woo. Momo today, John?
Yeah, Ramona's going to be late to her own funeral, so she'll be in here shortly.
All right.
And she'll be eating and talking. She'll have a phone in her left hand
yep.
and some type of food in her right
a
hand.
A coffee,
breaking
too.
News for ESPN.
Clinton or Taylor will open the door for her, and she'll sit down and she'll say, how's it going? And she'll have no idea that she's 10 minutes late. Yeah, that's Momo.
I want to be able to have that gear. I start, if I'm not 10 minutes early, I start freaking out that I'm going to be 30 seconds late. I can't do it.
What did you tell that story one time where Kirk thought the pregame, Kirk's always early.
Kirk is never
so,
late.
By the way,
he's never late.
Same
yeah.
with
yeah.
Michael Thompson. Never yeah. late. Ever. Yep.
Kirk and I have been doing Rams pregame for all seven seasons the Rams have been back.
Yeah.
He has literally never been late, but he also shows up about 3 minutes before we hit the air, but never late. So
times
I've learned
perfectly.
Over 7 years to not sweat it, right?
Yeah.
So this most recent, I think it was the Raider game, actually, the show starts and he's not there. And I text him like, yo, where are you? He's like, we started 3:30, right? I'm like, no, we started 3. He had the time wrong. So did he
make it?
Not in time.
Oh,
he missed a good 15 or 20 minutes, and I knew it bothered him as much as it would bother the three of us because we're all pretty punctual. I want to go back to something you said about Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
As currently constructed right now, obviously there's a lot of basketball left. Clippers are in this 8. Lakers are in the 9.
I know. I was looking at this today.
So you know where I'm going
How
with this.
How great would it be?
Right?
All right, so here's what I was thinking. The Clippers own the Lakers.
10 in a row.
And 45 out of 50, I think. I mean, it's some insane number like that.
Is that an exaggeration or is it really?
I don't think so. Okay. Look it up.
The Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, those years they dominated.
Type into a Google search Clippers Lakers last 50 games. I think it's 45 and 45. I mean, they've just owned the Lakers since Chris Paul and Blake Griffin got there. But everybody thinks that when the chips are down, it's like the Niners and the Rams.
Yeah.
The Niners have beat the Rams 7 times in a row. I mean, then they meet in the NFC Championship game, and the Niners wet the bed. If the Clippers were to lose to the Lakers in a one-game playoff, Steve Ballmer would have to take those billions and hire a truck of psychiatrists to get that through that. Can you imagine? They have dominated a team. You cannot dominate a team more than they have.
Well, that's what we were talking about. So I wonder if it's...
And by the way, if they meet, I'm picking the Lakers.
Well, that's where I was going. The Lakers and the Laker brand and what it means. And by the way, this team... Under this scenario, would have Anthony Davis playing very, very well.
Right.
The supporting cast.
Maybe LeBron
playing well.
Back.
Maybe LeBron back. So let's just put everybody has everybody.
Okay.
Lakers are at full strength. The Clippers are at full strength.
Okay.
Is it a no-brainer to pick the Lakers?
It's not a no-brainer. The Lakers are a different team than they were those last 10 times they've lost to them.
31-7 over that stretch right, since 2013.
All right. So 30. That it's that bad. Okay. You know. And so... The Lakers are a different team now. So are the Clippers in a lot of ways. But so I think you almost have to throw those records out. I just think that if the Clippers have dominated the Lakers in every conceivable way for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say? Since 2013?
It's 2013.
Yeah,
beginning
so
of that 2013
literally
season.
10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Lakers got them in the playoffs, because they've never met in the playoffs ever.
No. Nope.
In the history of the
Does
two
this count? Because it's technically not
One game
the playoffs.
Playoff, of course it counts. Play in is a playoff. Let's go. And they did. By the way, speaking of the Clippers, I was thinking about something. When Ramona gets here, she can comment on this more than I can because she talks to more people at the Clippers than I do. But the general consensus of media who cover the Clippers, anybody who's in the league would tell you, Paul George and Kawhi do whatever they want. All right. Mm-hmm. They tell you when they're going to play. They tell you when they're not going to play. They, if they're injured, they'll tell you when they're coming back. It's not a collaborative thing. It's Kawhi will tell you when he's ready, and
right.
Kawhi will tell you when he wants to play, blah, blah, blah.
Paul George, too.
Yeah, both of them.
Okay.
And if you talk to people who have left that team, who were on it and left,
well,
they
that,
will tell
the speculation
you
was that one of the reasons that Doc and the Clippers kind of was they were at odds over that dynamic.
Right. And I heard that Ty Lue manages it. Like, Ty is one of the best coaches in the NBA. He'll say, okay. So I've got to work around that, and then he does his thing, and he's able. They put together a pretty good team. But there's very few things that I would pay to be a fly on the wall. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when somebody, I don't know who it was, had to go to Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and tell him, hey, tomorrow at 10, I need you at the Intuit Dome to hear Ballmer talk about
the bathrooms.
And you got to wear this hard hat. All right? So I'll see you there.
Toilets!
I'll see you there at 10 o'clock. You just stand behind Ballmer and let him talk about toilets.
Kawhi
was there at 8:30.
Like, Kawhi is standing directly behind Ballmer. There's a still photo that's out there, and it's got that classic Kawhi smile, that weird kind of like, what am I doing here kind of smile. It's pretty great.
Yeah. Somebody either paid those guys to show up or told them there was an exchange of something there. Hey, you do this and we'll send you a car. We'll pay a stipend or something. But there's almost no way.
All right, a little bit of breaking news here, guys. This just came in. This is from Sham Sharania, who tweeted, this just in, Glendale, Colorado police have closed their investigation into Grizzlies star Ja Morant with no charge or crime. Quote, there was not enough available evidence to charge anyone with a crime.
Well, that was never going to be his problem. His problem is going to be with the NBA, which is why I disagree with you two guys. And maybe you guys have changed your position, but when we talked about, you think he'll be back Monday?
I think that he's going to be back much sooner than later. I would not be surprised if he's back next week.
I think the opposite. I think he will not play a game this month. But, and then what's today, the 8th?
So basically,
30 days left for the season end.
Yeah, I think they need to make a loud statement. Now, David Stern, when he was the commissioner, if you had a gun-related incident, he threw the book at you.
Yep.
Adam Silver has never punished a player for a gun-related incident. Now, when Javaris Crittenton and Gilbert Arenas got into it, and Arenas brought a gun into the locker room, he suspended Crittenton for the rest of the season. Turned out to be 38 games. He never played in another NBA game after that. And he suspended Arenas for 50. Mm. And Arenas is, there's a clip running around on the internet where Arenas is doing a podcast, and he said that David Stern basically called him in and told him, you're going to take this 50-game suspension, or I'm coming after your contract.
Mm.
He said, if you're working for us, if you're working for the league, we can't have gun we're a corporate entity. We can't have gun-related anything.
If this were David Stern at the helm, I would not have the opinion that I have. I think that Adam Silver is far more collaborative, to use the kind word.
He's a player's commissioner.
Yeah. And I think that the sooner he's back, the sooner it goes away. The sooner they can look, we've looked into it, we've decided that we've talked to him, we've worked with him, all the language that comes along with it, and they put him back out. Then it's not every time they play, the story isn't Ja Morant isn't here, the Grizzlies are sinking in the standings, et cetera, et cetera. He's just back out there.
I think the hole in that is if they find evidence that Ja Morant, and maybe this is how it goes away, this is how it doesn't go away. If they find out Ja Morant actually had a firearm on the plane or in the locker room or something along those lines,
now you're going down the right road.
There's no way he doesn't serve 50 games.
I don't know if it'll be 50.
Well, 50 is exactly what you said about Mark Stein. Mark Stein had it in.
But there is no there. I looked this up today. There is no automatic anything.
Okay. Got it.
I think Mark said that in a podcast. He's since gone back and corrected it. There's no automatic number. But you're barking up the right tree. How did that gun get from Memphis to Denver? And I also assume it got from Denver to L.A. because he flew with the team here, and then the video showed up. The
But isn't it in the league's best interest, guys, to not prove that?
If they don't have evidence, if they don't have evidence, you're not wrong. You're not wrong on that.
Really aggressively look for it.
The police, right? The police in Colorado have closed the investigation, but I'm sure the NBA hasn't. And here's the other thing. Every team in the NBA has a staff of security guys that know everything. Mm. These guys know where, and by the way, they know all the police in all these towns, and they know everything. And they tell these players left, right, and sideways, if you go out, take one of us with you.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we're here. You know, if you're going out to a club, take one of us. We'll stop problems before they happen. I don't know if Ja did that. I don't know if there was any of the Memphis security people there, but I guarantee you the Memphis security people know what happened.
All right, let me change subjects here a little bit. Maybe John needs a big brother, like our listeners have big brothers. We were talking today, John, about fighting with your siblings.
Okay.
Berkman told a story about his older brother giving him a typewriter.
Pretty hilarious.
Do you know what that is? Because it's unbelievably awesome.
No.
He would sit on his chest.
Okay. He'd have both knees pinned.
Pinning his arms.
Yeah.
And basically type with his fingers on his chest and then smack him on the head, go ding, like he's hitting the return on a typewriter.
That is spectacular.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, by the way, Greg, if your brother did that to you today, he would be canceled. Greg would file a restraining order against him.
So
it would be a major viral incident.
Pretty funny.
All these things. I used to fight with my brother. I'm the older brother.
I
have a brother that's two years younger than I am. And I used to pick on him and do all these. I didn't do the typewriter, but I did other terrible things until he smacked me one time, and that was the end. That was it.
Did you guys, when you guys were growing up, are you familiar with an atomic sit-up?
Yes.
Do you know what an atomic sit-up is?
The most popular move in a Major League Baseball clubhouse.
Emily, do you know what an atomic sit-up is?
I do not.
Okay, so this is a big thing when I was in a fraternity in college. So you'll be walking down the hallway, and they'll always pick out a victim. It's somebody new who's never seen this happen before, and we would do it to somebody every year. So they would say, like, hey, Sleeve was coming up the stairs. And Sleeve would be like a pledge, somebody new in the fraternity. And they would go, atomic sit-up. So we'd get like 10 guys in a room. And I would be down on the ground doing like trying to do a sit-up.
Crunches.
And you would walk by. You go, what's going on? And he goes, Ireland thinks he can do an atomic sit-up. And you would say, what's that? He goes, it's an equilibrium thing. If you get down on each side, if you get a guy on each side, and they yell as loud as they can in Ireland's ears, he won't be able to do the sit-up. You can't. It messes with your equilibrium. So I'm down on the ground in sit-up position. I do a regular sit-up. Mm-hmm. I go, okay, I'm good. Two friends of mine, one in each ear, screaming as loud as they can, ah! And I'm grunting, can't do it. And you're like, that's impossible. I can't. And I'd go, Slee, it's real. You got to try it. So you would get down and do it. I go, close your eyes. It'll help. So you close your eyes. I go, do a regular sit-up. And you do the regular sit-up. And then I go, okay, you ready? And you say, yeah. I go, okay, close your eyes. And you're going to have to put a little more effort into it. But just pop up as fast as you can as soon as you hear the yelling. So you get down. You close your eyes. You're in sit-up position. Two guys start yelling at you.
I think I know where this goes.
In the meantime, when your eyes are closed, somebody drops their pants and squats over you, and you slam your face right into their naked bottom. And that's an atomic sit-up, and everybody laughs hysterically. And you're like, I can't believe I just fell for that. That's what the typewriter reminded me of.
That is the move of every rookie in every major league club. It happens over and over.
That's a perfect setup.
It is. Did you torment your brother?
No, but it was weird because my brother and I were 4 grades apart, so we spent very little time together in school. Like when I was a senior, he was a freshman, but that was it. And so I didn't give him too hard of a time. My friends kind of looked out for him, so he got off easy.
We had some interesting stories from some callers.
We had people going through drywall. We had assaults in the hallway. We had one guy whose brother kicked his sister in the stomach just because she was standing there in his way. All sorts of fun stuff.
Again, guy does that today. He's canceled. By the way, I knew you guys got here, but Slee, I've been going to Laker games for 25 years. That game last night was one of my top 5 favorite games of all time.
I'm with you.
Really?
I told Trav in the break.
Really?
I told Trav in the break.
It was so incredibly cool.
The vibe was awesome. Howe was amazing.
He was.
They actually won the game in a game where they went over to ninth place. There was a great vibe yesterday. I know that sounds crazy to say, but I'm with you.
Yeah. So first of all, you walk in, and every seat is covered in a Gasol jersey.
Uh-huh.
All right. So there's this mood of, okay, we're like at a wedding.
Sure.
We're here to honor this guy. And Gasol walks in holding his daughter, Elizabeth, who's not even two. By the way, Elizabeth Gianna Gasol, middle name named after Gigi. And he's holding his daughter, and the game starts. And they start playing these videos at every timeout of all the stuff Gasol did when he was on the Lakers, of when he got here. There was an interview they played that I did with him, like, are you having as much fun as it looks? Mm-hmm. You know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, this is awesome. He goes, can't wait to see where it goes, blah, blah, blah. And when the videos are over, he's in tears.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how is this dude going to make it through halftime? He's a mess now.
And everybody's reaction. So like when he stood up and he's in tears and he's kind of holding his heart and he's waving to the crowd and everybody just kind of standing up, giving love to, who the hell doesn't love Pau Gasol? Like it was just, that's the vibe that you felt.
There was this, they start the halftime ceremony and Vanessa Bryant comes on the screen. And by the way, I'm going to play all this stuff at 2:00. I'm going to play Vanessa, Kobe, and Pau at 2:00. But Vanessa says, congratulations. They're very close. She says, congratulations. I'm so sad Kobe's not here, but he knew this day would come. Take a look at this. And she throws to this video.
Yep.
And somebody found Kobe at a dinner like 10 years ago. And they asked him, hey, you think Pau Gasol ever gets his number retired? And Kobe goes, are you kidding? Of course. He goes, I can't wait to be there. We're all going to be in Staples Center, and we're all going to be honoring him, and I'm going to be the first one in line, and it's going to be great. And so that now, all of a sudden, so this voice from beyond has taken you to the moment where you are, and Pau gets out there, and I go, I looked at Mike like, he's not going to make it through. And he goes six minutes.
Brilliant.
And it's just perfect. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then the Lakers, who were down by one, come out and play great in the second half, and he's sitting there watching. It was, Travis, I am so glad I was there. Slee, I'm sure you feel the same way. I rank it right up there with Kobe's 60-point game, some of the title games I went to. It was nobody does ceremony like the Lakers. And last night, they knocked it out of the park. It was great.
And 16 goes right next to number 24.
Right.
And just,
I used your line, and I gave you credit. No, it was Andy Kamenetsky's line that I thought was great. 16, right in the middle of 8 and 24.
Huh. There you go.
Think about it. Jeez. 8 plus 8 is 16 plus 8 is 24, and now they're up on the wall together.
That's cool.
Oh, it's big-time makeup, Ramona.
TV Ramona is in the house. She's here for Mason and Island. Super Crosstalks, powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger's all about.